This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lime, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. This beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Of course, you know, 969 is the way my mother listens to the show. Our show today is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance. We also want you to know that it's the final week to help Guardian Radio and AML raise funds for much-needed snacks in our second annual back-to-school snackathon. You can help us surpass last year's total by making a donation at the register of and Courseright locations in both Nassau and Freeport. Join your Guardian Radio 96.9 at Fresh Market Harbor Bay from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. this Thursday for our live snackathon broadcast. Meet your Guardian Radio 96.9 personalities and assist us in beating last year's total of funds raised in our snackathon. We also want you to know that do you have a Japanese import vehicle and no longer able to listen to radio news, talk, and music content on Guardian Radio? Then the Hit Spot is offering a $79.99 special, VAT included, band extender equipment and installation during the month of September. All right, so that'll make sure all of these vehicles where you get tuned out because of it's a Japanese vehicle, you can listen to Guardian Radio. So a listener to Guardian Radio sent me a note where they were asking essentially what I thought was so egregious about launching a training program for prospective candidates. That these are, as they put it, greenhorns that sit up in parliament, lack fundamental knowledge of parliamentary procedures, etc. And this is needed on all sides, in my opinion. And so they were just concerned that there were those who were criticizing this effort by the Free National Movement, so announced, to provide some degree of training for their candidates. First of all, let me say, what's new? This is not new. Political parties have had opportunities to provide some training for prospective candidates and existing candidates. So what's new? I participated in them both as such a person and as somebody providing or sharing information to candidates. Right? And I know of multiple efforts at the same. What's new? Secondly, I recall even Prime Minister Christie, when he had the distinguished former cabinet minister Paul Adley come into the cabinet to talk to his own cabinet, new freshly minted cabinet, about cabinet procedures and that kind of stuff. So that was kind of a training. I cannot imagine anyone thinking through life who would find it problematic to have training for anyone. For anyone. I cannot imagine that someone would cast aspersion on any effort by the FNM, the PLP, the DNA, the COI, for by any human field of endeavor for training. I couldn't care less how expert you are. Every single day, those of us who have any kind of understanding of the lifelong learning principle know that we are constantly in search of training. How could that even be an issue? You mightn't like it because you ain't in it. What could be wrong with any effort to train a human being? Doctors are encouraged and doctors go for continuous training in their profession because the body of knowledge is ever increasing, developing, evolving. For academics, do the same thing. Really? So a party, FNM or PLP or whoever decides, you know what, we have these young people or these not so young people coming in to the political arena. We want to give them some training, some background, some context, some perspective, etc. God bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Keep at it. Keep going. Do it. If the PLP should do it, too. I know they've done other such training before, so they should do it too. Every party should do it. Why not? You cannot assume people have a grasp of even the thing they're getting into. You can't, just because I sit in some lofty chair, I know what it takes to go and become an effective member. But that's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And plenty of people who commentate on these things have not a clue what this is all about. And I know that by the commentary I hear, audio or otherwise, I hear it and I know that there is not an understanding of what the job requires and entails. Do not know. Do not understand what governance is about, what government is about, what government is for. Do not know. It is clear, very clear. And why should they? Unless you have that real, genuine exposure, and some only come to it because they did get dropped into the pool of political experience and may have come to absorb and know. I know I didn't know a lot of the stuff that I know now before I went into government. It would have been great for some people who have had experience in the business to say, you know, Shivago, X, Y, and Z. Let me give you a simple example. Very simple example. I became a member of parliament for Fort Charlotte. And in my own head, I thought, okay, you know, I'm now in government. And so, you know, I have to attend to that work. And, you know, there should be others who attend to the work of the branch, you know. No, I was the candidate. I became the member of parliament, and as a party person, I needed to ensure that the branch was working effectively and that I had an intimate involvement in it. And I was thankful that an experienced person helped me to appreciate and realize that. But I didn't know it before. And I had a degree. I had degrees. And I was involved in politics a bit before, but not to the degree, right? So man, listen, the Bible says only a fool despises knowledge. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all thine understanding, get understanding. We are told constantly, be on a continuous search for knowledge. Even the great Warren Buffett said he spends 2 hours on YouTube searching through things, learning things. Right? Come on, man. There can't be no issue in this day and age. To scoff at an effort by the FNM to train its candidates and the PLP to train its candidates is really to demonstrate, I think, a bit of cynicism that is uncalled for. That makes good sense. Even if you're an experienced person, so what, you sit in the classroom, how much benefit can you get from being refreshed about some things? Come on, man. That's a little puerile. I don't subscribe to that at all. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we have a call on the line? No, they dropped off. I thought it was a little bit early. this text says, indeed, even in a church. Yes, even in a church, you train people. You train people, man. Come on. You call disciples. We call disciples of Christ until we die. Why? Because we're learning. Right? You all of a sudden, you so why? What? You so grand. I'm so grand. I'm so informed. I'm so knowledgeable. Really? Yeah, really? Seriously? When I hear people who want to be or were who just are on the periphery speaking about all the things a member of parliament is supposed to do, I always say to myself, I wonder if they went to the job description of a member of parliament to get that information they have. And so where's the job description for member of parliament? Is it in the Constitution? It ain't in your mind. It ain't, you make it up. Just because you say, I say, a member of parliament is supposed to be doing it. That's not the job description. Now, if a member of parliament decides to take on all those things because they're being responsive to their community and all that kind of stuff, that's a different story. But that's not the job description. Member of parliament's job is to be a legislator in the House of Assembly. That's the job. That's the job. So you want to judge a member of parliament's effectiveness? Look at how they're doing the job the Constitution gave them to do in the House of Assembly. Not whether they pay, help your churn find job, help you pay your mortgage, or help somebody do this, that, and the next thing and get you a contract. I mean, it'd be great or grand if they can do that, but that's not the job. But to be trained so you can understand the job, that makes good sense. This text says, oh my God, it's embarrassing. People on national radio who at the same time are speaking about how intelligent they are, talking about how horrible training and knowledge is. And then the blind callers agreeing to this. It's embarrassing. Imagine the diplomatic officers rolling on the ground laughing at us and our ignorance. Right? Listen, see. You could decide in this life what you want to be. Okay? You can decide whether you want to pander to people's ignorance, to people's cynicism, or people's skepticism, etc. You could decide if you want to do that, right? And then they get to say, oh, all that kind of stuff. Honestly, that's not my primary objective, Jack, because I know where power is. Power is in understanding. Power is in wisdom. Power is in knowledge. And for that, you need to stop and pay attention, learn, and be trained. That's where power is. Okay, so you could call me and try to bust this up all you want. I will say this with a one fear of contradiction. You can never do harm by training people. Even people who are trained can never be harmed by training. Cannot be. No expert could be harmed by training. A person being trained, no matter how brilliant, could only be made better off by training. And if your mindset is something different, don't come talk to no child I have. Don't come talk to any young person that I know, because you cannot uplift them. Training makes sense. And I couldn't care less if the FNM will do it. I already said the PLP did it before. Okay? And I hope they do it again. And if the PLP ask me, Shivago, could you have a talk with our candidates? I'd be glad to do it. If the FNM asks me, I'd be glad to do it. Why? Because we don't need FNMs trained alone. We don't need PLPs trained alone. We need everyone trained. And any candidate, anywhere, we were actually at the Government and Public Policy Institute. We were privileged to provide training for candidates in the last election through the auspices of the Inter-American Development Bank. And these women, some of them were in parliament, some were aspiring to be in parliament and so forth. How the heck could that be a problem? Seriously? And you think that you are brilliant to think that, to say that? Training? You know, I remember when Allen Iverson was saying, practice? Well, I'm saying training? Training is where you have an issue with an organization doing training? Really? That sounds like a beef to me. That don't sound like no good sense. That sounds like just a little bit of hateration on my... That's how it sounded to me. I could be dead wrong, but that's how it sounded to me. That don't sound like no good sense. And whoever it is, don't sound like no sense to me. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day to day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band expanded rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 043. We're talking about some people's concern about the Free National Movement announcing a training exercise for candidates or prospective candidates, and some people having a problem with that. There's an organization with offices in Denver, Colorado, and Washington, D.C., called the NCLS. For 50 years, that organization has been, and in quote, I'm quoting them, because the legislative workplace is so unique, NCLS customizes training to meet the challenges that come with working in the legislative environment. NCLS works closely with legislators, legislative leaders, and legislative staff to design and deliver custom training on a wide range of topics and skills, with training delivered in person, virtually, or both. NCSL also offers hundreds of video training sessions on topics to make, listen to this, to make legislators and staff more effective. That's not even the candidates. That's the legislators. If you can train the legislators, what do you think you need to do with the prospective candidates? Only makes sense. They do it in the United Kingdom also. They have a parliamentary center that sends information to me all the time about training that's available and so forth. You're going in the government. All these folks going in the government. What's government? What's the role of government? No. Not what you think it is, but what is the role of government? What's the role of the parliament? What's the role of the legislator? What's the role of the cabinet? What's the role of a cabinet minister? What's the role of a member of parliament? What's a bill? What do bills emerge? What's public policy? Does public policy emerge? How do you analyze public policy? How do you assess the outcome of results of public policy? How about that? You know that all that stuff? How is a budget prepared? What are the components of a budget? What's fiscal policy? What's monetary policy? Man, you could only benefit from people trying to provide training on matters for prospective candidates. The better trained they are, the better informed they are, the better off they can be in doing their jobs. If the most trained among us still have a challenge doing the work that they do, well, what do you think will happen with the untrained? This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. You have a great topic as usual. Training is a must, whether you take it in or retain it not, but need to get away from this I know all attitude. Absolutely, I agree with you 100%. This text says, good day, Shivago. Great perspective. Training and retraining is always necessary. The biggest room in the world is for self-improvement. Yes, none of us have arrived or ever will. We continue to grow when we keep learning. Amen. Couldn't say that better than that. This text says, Mr. Lang, I totally agree with you regarding training. Knowledge is power. I, too, was shocked when a talk show host was knocking training. One should never get enough of training. Training is an ongoing process. You learn something new every time, even if you participate in the same training twice. So training is good, and no one should discourage others if they are interested in improving on their knowledge. Listen to me. If you get in training and somebody criticizes it, or you, child, pretend than a piece of stone laid out on a ground full of stones. Don't take that. Don't even give that a second thought. Makes no sense. Don't give it a second thought. Say, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I worked in the hospitality industry for over 29 years, and training was ongoing. At one point, we had a program called Train the Trainer. where once you were trained, you will then become the trainer for your restaurant or department. Excellent. Absolutely. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Brother Lang, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I'm good. This training thing, this just blew up. But what I'm saying, the training that the Free National Movement is putting up, is this free of charge or this is a cost
to it? This is the organization conducting a training for prospective candidates.
It's free.
Yeah, man, it's not paid.
Okay. Not everybody train is going to be a candidate because they done
they may not be 50 already, and they
still have classes for more.
So I don't want people to believe because they get trained. But that's irrelevant though. That's neither here nor there for the training, because here's the thing. Once you get training, nobody can take that away from you, whether you become a candidate or not.
Yes,
and you may become a candidate the next time around.
That's true.
Because you see what I mean? So you have to always have a long game, a long view in mind, and think, you know, and I do training seminars all year round. And when I do training seminars, I say, people, listen, let me tell you something. Don't tell the people who send you here. When you didn't get this training, they can't take this from you.
Never take it back with your head. It's like a carpenter, a mechanic, or a mason. Once they get that in them.
Exactly, which is one of the reasons why people are sometimes a little anxious when they are training people, because they invest in people, and then the next thing you know, somebody comes and recruits them. So you just pay to train somebody, they go and give the talent to someplace else.
Let me say this in closing. Then these political parties and have this type of thing, they already have the candidate. That's not true.
That is not true. I know that for a fact. I don't have to theorize about that. Parties could be looking for candidates and deciding on candidates up to a couple of weeks before election. So that's not true.
Looking for a candidate up to weeks before election. They didn't expect to win that election.
I said up to weeks before. And I'm
I am not theorizing about this.
I'm not. This isn't some I just up and say to you. You can select a candidate up to nomination day, right? So don't. We have to stop being so cynical when we're sitting outside the room, man. These parties do not know who all their candidates will be. They do not. They may have a fair idea of who some of them are. Maybe some might even know who most of them are, but don't tell nobody that, man. The search for candidates by these parties is a ongoing process. 10-year-old Nafil talking about go work the field, and then at the end of the day, you don't even end up being the person. says the PLP charged $150 for their candidate training, and the chairman was in the news saying that those modules made a profit of $9,000. Well, I know the PLP. The ones I know, I know nobody paid for them, though. That's what you say. I don't know. And even if they charge, if you want to be a candidate and you think it's worth the while, fine. What's the problem paying for it? Shoot, you pay for something valuable. You think it's valuable to get training in a particular area that you have an interest in? Go pay. Actually, Mr. Lang, I thought it would be a terrific idea for your institute to lead the charge in training selected candidates on both sides as a requirement for parliament. The country can't but improve with properly trained persons assigned to office who understand ethics and public administration. Well, we certainly are developing a training for both people interested in politics, not just candidates, people who are interested in politics. Public policy and that kind of thing, short courses, seminars and that kind of stuff. And people who, after the fact, may want to discreetly be better informed about what they are doing. And it's not a question of for both sides. We would offer these things as open invitation unless, for instance, if even if it were for elected officials, it'd be open invitation to whoever desires. So it's not all both sides or all sides. It's just an open invitation. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Every summer at the King's Inn Hotel in Freeport, every department, that's why we were the best. That just makes sense, man. Right? I just can't understand who could give any kind of argument about training. So PLP raises almost $9,000 with module for aspirant candidates. Okay, yeah, so it did happen. Make your money. See, and they had modules after this, so I am sure it was more profitable. There you go. Well, you know, they say somebody get paid a bill. So, Mr. Lang, you are correct. My wife has been in education for 31 years, and she has been going to workshops since she was in the classroom, now administration. She has attended workshops in Denver and other states. Yeah, she's a smart woman. They're smart. So good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Man, I hear about the work that the Government Public Institute was doing. I said to myself it would be good to obtain such training. Absolutely. I mean, it just makes sense. And there's no downside to training, even if the training is redundant, no downside to it. Listen, let's take a break here. And then we'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
If you're looking for great value, fantastic flavor, and a choice for lunch today, go to Burger King Nassau and enjoy a King Meal deal for just $5.50. A signature flame grill taste you love in the Big King Jr. with all the fixings. Served with fries and a drink for just $5.50. Or if you feel like chicken, choose from the Chicken Big King Jr. or a six-piece nugget meal with fries and a drink for just $5.50, including VAT. Satisfy your cravings for those BK flavors you love with the King Meal deal at Burger King Nassau.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes. In terms of the training, right, mm-hmm. in my opinion, right, I would be terrified if I'm an elected official, right, and elected to Parliament and do not know what to do once elected, because anyone can be elected to Parliament. Right? So I think a well-trained politician only benefits the country, should benefit the country.
Sure.
Benefit,
I agree with you.
You should benefit from a well-trained politician, because when you're elected, we don't want you to start feeling your way through. Once you're elected, you should hit the ground running, like Mr. Ingram said one time back. And I remember the PLP, they had training for their MPs when they were elected some time back. I remember them going and in the training to train the younger MPs. Another point is that I can remember when the FNM under Minnis, I think Juan Miller, he was elected at the last hour. He was a candidate at the last hour. So I think someone in trouble, he was elected and he won. So, I mean, like you said, you can be elected, nominated anytime.
But before a nomination day.
Right. But I think the country benefits from a well-trained politician or candidate or whoever.
Absolutely. None of us. Listen, if you live in your life doing your particular career, et cetera, you're not running around trying to learn what's a point of order, what's a point of privilege. These things that are unique and particular to the parliamentary procedures, et cetera, this is not stuff you know. So having an opportunity to learn that, people aren't about the business study in government to know all the details and nuances of it. So as you come to be interested or become a candidate and you get trained in that area, it only makes sense for somebody to say, you know what, I'm not going to leave this to chance.
Also, protocols. You need to know the protocols and stuff, because then, sometimes you see politicians and you could tell that they weren't trained, especially protocols.
Of course, you have simple matters like you have ministers running around making speeches saying, my government. No minister can say my government outside of the prime minister. He's the only one whose government it is, outside of the queen. He gets to say my government's policy is. Not no minister.
But Mr. Lang, before I go, right, I think the one thing that is missing, right, is civic. Once we know what our thing should operate in this country, then we can make a statement. See, a lot of us, we don't know certain things until somebody come and educate us. We are being trained every day by being corrected by certain things that people say.
Sure. Right, we appreciate you calling, man. Thank you very much. We got another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Brother Shivago. It's always a pleasure to lend my contribution to your show when you're on. Just wanted to piggyback a little bit on what the previous caller had indicated. You know, as we go swapping and the training aspect of anything is a continuous, like a continuous model. You know, we never stop learning. In the political field, what I would like to see is the mere fact that when it comes down to governance, our country is governed by a constitution. I believe a well-balanced politician would well be, take advantage of the opportunities, especially if prior to them going into politics and getting into our parliament, that they would have a firm grip. They may not know everything about our constitution, but have a firm grip of what the nuances of our constitution truly stands for. You know, a lot of things goes on in our parliament that goes on unchallenged because the persons in our parliament, even though the constitution states certain things, it's going to take certain persons who know the constitution to point these things out and bring them to the forefront. My last sentiment on this matter is this. You know, we're talking about bringing about a government that's going to be successful, not just for the people, but for the country as a whole. The crux of anything in this country is centered around the Constitution, that is the governing articles and stuff that governs this country. I'm still shaking my head many times just listening to our parliament, where even the politician does not seem to know what the Constitution calls for in many cases. So the constitutional lawyers and scholars who know the Constitution, I believe that we need to really find a way to create that avenue where we have more persons who will become well-versed in understanding what our Constitution stands for and begin the training prior to many persons going into our Parliament. I thank you for taking my call today and look forward to hearing your comments on this. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Knowing the Constitution is fundamental for any lawmaker, for sure. And let's to be sure, let's be sure now. Like, I know you, we have this thing called constitutional law, constitutional lawyers, and of course there are some deep principles that make sense for such people to know, but basically the Constitution is a document for the people, you know. It's not, the Constitution wasn't written for lawyers. So knowing the fundamentals of the Constitution, what it has, what the provisions are, fundamental rights and these kinds of things, the procedures it establishes for the different branches of government, etc., these are something that all parliamentarians should know and all citizens should know and can know, right? Where there are deep arguments happen around constitutional law, that's a different set of stuff. But that's a basic reality. The Constitution is not a document for lawyers, right? That's reality. This text says, excellent, Z, with training and retraining, one can never go wrong. Learning should be continuous, lifelong. That's the principle that all the top educators promote, is you continuously learn, man. This text says, Mr. Lang, why would a political party still be selecting its candidates weeks before the election? How many weeks before? Because that would explain why they have ineffective candidates. That's not true. It's not true at all. There are many circumstances that could result in a party having to select a candidate just prior to nomination day or weeks before, because you can have had somebody working a FBI, they could decide, you know, that I don't want to do this anymore, and what have you. You could have the community find something out that says, you know what, we don't want this person anymore. So it's untrue to believe that a person would be ineffective because they were just selected weeks before. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. How long you were a candidate has nothing to do with how effective you would be in the House of Assembly. What's the job in the House of Assembly, right? Your job is to participate in the passage of legislation. Right? And so why you need to be a candidate for 10 months or 3 months, etc.? First of all, you're a candidate so the people could elect you. If the party picks you a day before and the people elect you, what's the problem? People pick you. They're the ones who voted for you. So I'm sorry, that does not hold water at all. This text says, and by ineffective candidate, I mean one with poor communication skills, inconsistent positions, limited grassroots support, and lack of political experience. Well, then you don't know the role of a member of parliament, because if you're a poor candidate, and then people don't elect you. But if you get elected, you obviously, whatever people wanted, you acted, and they put you in parliament. They voted for you. They voted for you. And you, with all your poor communication skills, and your inconsistent positions, and your limit grassroots support, limit grassroots support, they voted for you, how else you get in? How else did you get in parliament? You could only get in House of Assembly, people vote for you, bro. This text says, I hope this isn't the norm, because we need the country. Why do you have to hope it is not the norm? You live in the Bahamas, do you not? Oh, maybe this is your first election, you've now been through an election. You look at the candidates. People in the House of Assembly now, sir. Ma'am. Look, you think Fred Mitchell just got selected as a candidate 2 weeks before? Venice Anamart, Brave Davis? And the list could go on and on. Dr. Davil, Michael Pintard, Crazy Thompson. Come on, man. You can look and see what happened. You can see it in the norm. Just go look over the people elected to the House of Assembly and go see what the norm was. Don't have to hope. You can see that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We take a break for news. We'll be back to the music.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Gunner. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Tuesday afternoon. You read some of these texts for you. Text says, Silang, you are so right. With the new technology and the new cars today, if mechanics don't get continued training, they will be out of business soon. This text says, Mr. Lang, let me ask you this as well. During election season, when a candidate knocks on your door to bribe you for your vote, what questions should you ask that person on your front steps? Do we ask the right questions or do we just get excited with the t-shirts with a mystery prize wrapped inside? Say they come to bribe you? I've been a candidate in 4 elections. I never knock on nobody's door to bribe them. I began my conversation with them with, hi, I'm Shivago Lang. And I'm the Free National Movement's candidate for the Marco City /4 Charlotte constituency. I said, so we have conversations around, what it is that I propose with the party, because I was representing a party, proposes to do in the country in terms of legislation, in terms of projects and that kind of thing. And maybe some of the things people look forward to in their constituency in the community and so forth. But it was no bribe. Bribe is, let me give you this and you give me your vote. I never participated in any such thing, and I don't know anybody who did. I didn't say it didn't happen. I said, I don't know anybody who did. So, but you're absolutely right about asking the right questions. You're absolutely right. And if it were me and you came to my door, the first question I would ask candidate is, what is it that you are seeking my vote for? Why are you seeking my vote? Because I want to be your member of parliament. And what is the role of that person? What would your role be as member of parliament? Or if they get that one wrong, it could be a problem. So you say your role would be to pass legislation. What legislation do you have in mind, pass, to change, or repeal? The party ain't give you that information. Or might I point you to my party's platform? If you look right in this area, we propose to pass this piece of legislation, amend this piece of legislation, and so forth. If you don't know, you are interviewing for a job for which you have no knowledge of its responsibility. You cannot do that job effectively. And then, you know, I always tell people the big, big question, the big question you always want to put the candidates is this. After they promise you something, after you ask them this question, how are you going to do that? When we propose to create more jobs, how? By getting more investors, how? We can get rid of all outside toilets. How? Oh, boy. But you're right. Asking the right questions. Let me ask you all a question. This is a very serious question. What's worse? What is worse? Having an uninformed, ignorant candidate or having an uninformed, ignorant voter? Please answer that question for me. Which is worse? If the candidate is uninformed and ignorant, or if the voter is uninformed and ignorant? Imagine that all candidates are uninformed and ignorant. Imagine that all voters are uninformed and ignorant. Which is the worst situation of those two? Please answer me. Please tell me. You can call us on 323-6232. Or 325-4316 59, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Which one do you think is worse? To have let's imagine an extreme situation where all the voters are ignorant and uninformed, and all the candidates are ignorant and uninformed. Which is worse? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Listening to the show, and it's very interesting. So to answer your question, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I believe it's worth to have the uninformed, ignorant candidate. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because in this present climate, we have a lot of uninformed, ignorant voters. But I believe a part of the process in itself should always be to educate the voter. But if the candidate is informed, isn't ignorant, then you assist in that. Because when you come around to campaign, how are you going to address my concerns? How are you going to answer my questions? If you are just as uninformed or ignorant as I am, or even worse.
Mm. It doesn't help. Well said.
I really don't understand what all the fuss is about surrounding this training. That should be the norm. Because we're always complaining that the candidates, you know, are not up to par. And I believe this process would assist in that. It would assist in that. So that's what I think.
Well said. Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This line, thank you for debunking such false information concerning training being screwed up by the less informed folks who claimed to know it all. I am so happy to hear you break down the various different areas required for persons who want to serve or represent. We must be careful in whose hands we place a microphone. We, as a people, should attempt to improve ourselves daily, continue the great work through training, educating, and informing. Thank you for your kind words. This text says, we are the MPs who told us. Oh, I don't know. That's something different. Yeah, what's worse? Mm-hmm. You have people who are voting who don't know what they're voting for. And you have people who are running for vote who don't know what they're running for the vote for. What's worse in that situation? The last caller, very articulate, very clearly, very rationally spoke to her views on the matter. This text says, an uninformed candidate is far worse. Can't have the blind leading the blind. Can't have the blind leading the blind. That makes good sense. that says we had MPs who told us, go in a cave during hurricanes to take cowboys in a tin tub. And if you stand up to a man, you get what you get. Lack of training gives such answers. Everyone in any type of public service needs training, says that text. Well said. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Lago Lang, and good afternoon, Bahamas. I believe that an uninformed public is worse than an uninformed candidate, because you could always not vote for a particular candidate based on their response or their knowledge to your particular request or ideas for reform. But if you voting for a particular group or a particular party, all you're looking for is rum and chicken, and that's it. That's once that go, that's it. You get what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think well said. I think well said. You're saying if you don't know what to vote for, you could be voting for an unscrupulous, terrible person, and that just as bad, eh?
By far worse, because I mean, or even if you know of a candidate and he or she is not up to power, up to well versed, you are beating yourself for problems as a country. You got to be an informed citizenry, and mm-hmm. that is where we have been falling down tremendously. I need to become more informed. We are what I see around me, people who care for just day to day, the day to day living.
Mm.
That was day to day hustle.
Mm.
They're not looking, or we can't look, we're not looking down the road futuristically for a brighter future. If we could get something today and cancel out something or a vision that can be forecast for the future with steps and with reasonable steps and with patience and with diligence, get there. That has to come through the principle of information and discipline.
Thank you, man. Very well said. I appreciate your comments. Very well said. Thank you. This text says an informed voter would be the worst. An uninformed voter would be the worst. If they are informed, et cetera, they would be able to make better decisions and challenge the candidates. Absolutely, that's true. Said informed voters produce informed candidates. That also is true. Or at least they would make an uninformed candidate so embarrassed that parties would say, you know what, we need to step up to the plate and stop sending people uninformed candidates. Ms. Texas, Mr. Lang, I think you posed a good question. I think an uninformed voter is worse than an uninformed candidate. However, when it comes to practicality, when that uninformed candidate promises to fix the roof of an uninformed voter in exchange for their vote, this hypothetical doesn't matter. Why you all are making me so proud today? Oh, my goodness. Very good thoughts. Says an uninformed and ignorant voter As an uninformed and ignorant voter, you can't hold the MP accountable if they don't give you no expectation and vision. Okay, that is true. So the question to the candidate shouldn't only be how they're going to do it, but what happens if you don't? Getting voted out ain't no real consequence. Well, that's the only consequence you could get. So, I mean, what other consequence you could give a person who represents you if they don't do what they are required to do or promised to do. But you can't send them to jail. You can't stone them. You only could fire them. When you don't do what you're supposed to do at your workplace, what consequence falls? Huh? You don't do what the people hire you for. What they could do other than fire you? They don't send you to jail unless you steal. Right? So come on, man. Let's be practical. Right? Let's be realistic. There's no other consequence to flow to a political personality of any consequence for simply not doing their jobs other than to be fired. That's it. That's how it works everywhere in the world. There's no other thing. This text is Mr. Lang. To piggyback off one of the callers, training all will not be a candidate. But in my opinion, that person will or may be more informed and may go back to his or her constituency and help to educate. I think we prosecuted it, right? Like honestly, telling people, a political party, to train people just doesn't make sense. It don't make no sense to me. And I would give $1,000 to somebody who could give me a very rational reason why it's harmful to go train your candidates. Yes, and I'm the judge, so you know I ain't giving up my $1,000 unless you convince me. Say good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Said the question to the can. Oh, says one of the biggest dreams get sold is a job. They promise to give them a job. Some get it, others still waiting on that empty job. Well, I mean, I wouldn't promise jobs for sure. I didn't, but I certainly believed that as a member of parliament, if somebody came to me seeking a job, to the extent that I could help them find one, I should find one. You know, but I wouldn't promise anybody a job. I would not say to you, I can get you a job. I would say I'd try to help you get a job. You know, if I can, certainly we have job programs where we would try to, you know, bring employers and employees together to try to connect people that way. But I wouldn't promise anybody a job because you can't guarantee people no job. And you certainly are not going to get everybody a job who need one. And so all you can do is be making people mad. They can be mad at you anyways because if they don't work, they're not working, they can feel like you failed them and let them down. This text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang, this Nassau. If you don't do what you're supposed to do in the job, you get cussed out on the job. And then what? Nothing wrong with training candidates. All parties should train their candidates. You have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang.
Hey, what's up?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you very well.
Yeah, you know, you talk to a candidate, they can promise you the world has to get in. I think one of the best solutions, Mr. Lang, is probably put in a recall system. When that person who's in that capacity, minister or chairman, not performing, they could be moved from that position. Now, you can't have a recall system on being elected unless you have a referendum on that matter. But at least you could have a recall system on less than a minister in charge of works and other ministries. They're not performing their ministries.
Well, no, how can you have a recall system for a minister when the minister is appointed by the prime minister?
Can I speak up a little, please?
I don't know why you can't hear me, but maybe it's your side of the thing. But you can't have a recall system for ministers when ministers are appointed by the prime minister. In the United States, the cabinet ministers are appointed by the president. How can the people recall them?
Right. No, the prime minister can move them, not we.
Yeah, so you don't need a recall system. You just need a prime minister who could assess that you ain't doing the job and then move.
Yeah, but don't you think that, how let's put it this way then. How would you like double recall system in the system?
What, for recall for who? For representatives
no,
or recall for
Cal? For it's a new elected. But I mean, there gets to be a referendum for that. But what sort of recall system would you recommend then?
Well, I would say rent because, in any way. I think, I mean, you know, I mean, first of all, if somebody puts in a recall system, it wouldn't make a difference to me whether you did it or don't do it. Because they normally have a threshold. They normally have a threshold of, say, like X percent of voters who have to go ahead and petition for that recall. And then you got to go into a broad vote so that you could get a recall. And in any event, it ain't very easy. I want you to find out. See countries where they have a recall system.
But up Canada, I promise you, yes, Mr. Map, maybe if I get involved, it's such a thing. But you got to be all that 5 years or even before.
Yeah, but no, recalls don't work. A recall don't work on you didn't fulfill a promise. Recall system work on some other principles of failure.
But I'm trying to get at, Mr. Lang. What sort of system which we should develop, because a candidate, all they do is promise you to get in.
Yeah, but that's the only thing you can do. If you interview for a job, the only thing you can do is go on your resume and say to the people, this is what I did, and then I promise to do this when I get the job. So they don't know whether you're going to actually perform.
No, they both of them don't perform.
I don't believe. First of all, hold on, Pumpkin Eater. First of all, you say most of them don't perform. Do you have laws in the Bahamas?
Yeah.
You have good laws in the Bahamas?
I've never examined them. Some of them are not.
The law that says you shouldn't murder, the law that says you shouldn't rape, the law that says you shouldn't steal another man's property, are they not good laws?
Yeah, they're good laws. But some of them get
okay,
away.
Do you have a constitution in the Bahamas?
Yes.
And the rights and freedoms?
Yes, next question.
Well, they were passed by your parliament. They were passed by parliamentarians.
No, don't get me wrong. They are good team. I'm not saying all the negative.
No,
you said most of them don't perform.
And I'm telling you.
Right, be quality in parliament. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's not a question of infallibility. It's not a question of infallibility. You made a statement about them not performing. And I'm saying to you, if you look at the hundreds and hundreds of laws passed in the country and laws passed every year in the country, they're done by your parliamentarians. And most of those laws are passed bipartisanly.
Right. Most of them are good. I guess I was looking at the personal performance in your constituency.
Yeah, see, that's a different matter. I think most of you should, who are feeling as you feel, need to call for amendments to the Constitution to broaden the responsibilities of members of Parliament.
Because
what you are asking for now is not a responsibility of a member of Parliament.
So in the next election, we should be pushing for something more, a constituency level of forced performance.
Yeah. Well, maybe what you're looking for is you're looking for genuine local government.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's what you look for.
Definitely.
That's what you need. So leave the member of parliament alone and tell your government, stop fooling around. And if you don't bring proper local government in this country, I'm going to fire you, and I'm going to find out.
Both parties be campaigning on it in 2026. Definitely, I am looking for local government for new problems.
Exactly. That's what I sense. That's what you want. You want genuine local government.
Have a good day.
You too, my friend. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down. Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Bahamas, are you ready?
Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group along with Alpha Sounds presents
the best of the best.
Reloaded.
This is the biggest one-day all Bahamian concert of the year.
Featuring KB, D-Mac, Abby,
Mama D,
Fan Sean,
Shine, 242,
The Falcons,
and more.
Mark your calendars. It's going down November the 2nd
at Super Club Breezes Ground.
Tickets now available at BahamasEtickets.com
or both Beauty Shack locations.
General admission $60.
VIP Skybox and Skypods also available.
For more info, call 394-0819
or email keepthevibealive242 at gmail.com.
Experience the magic once again
with more legends for one night only.
Come
party with us November 2nd at Best of the Best.
Rake and Scrape Explosion Reloaded.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Do we have another caller on the line? No? So glad you could join us. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. 325-4259. You can text us on 4224796, or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. I am hearing some people say, well, okay, we're not opposed to people being trained. But we are opposed to a requirement for training, even if you have been a seasoned elected person or something of that nature. Now, I don't know that to be the case, but I'm being told that there might be a requirement that notwithstanding you've been in parliament before, you are been a seasoned person, that you should go through this training. and some people object to that. I could see how someone who is a seasoned person or been in parliament might think they are above that, might feel that that's humiliating, etc. And I could see why, I could see where it might make more sense to have, as a leader, for instance, you could have a session with those people privately where you're just, you know, dialoguing about, you know, some of the principles and values and precepts that you would like to lay down for your legislative, administrative protocols, etc. It still amounts to some kind of a, let's call it a powwow then. And then you could have the newly minted people have a session. I could see that. I could see that that could pose a challenge. But in the end, I have to tell you, for me, in the end, that's more about ego than that is about anything else. Okay, if you required me, as there are some professions where you are required to do, no matter how seasoned you are required to sit in a training, I would have no problem with that. No difficulty. Well, you want me to sit down inside there for 2 days, 3 days? What do you want me to do? Why? Why? Because I'm too much, I'm too big for that. I'm sorry. I could understand the sensitivities around it. I could understand if one wanted to choose a different route for such people. But in the end, what could that be about other than ego? That cannot be about good governance. It can't be about good leadership. It can't be about good organization. It only could be about ego. It might be true. You don't need it. It might be true. And I definitely, listen, don't get me wrong. I could see how offended a person who believes themselves to be experienced and minted, how that could offend them. I could see that. I really can. I honestly could see that. And if it were my judgment to make, if it were my choice to make, I would choose a different route for them. I would. We do it even in some of the training we do now, where senior people are separated from junior people. In some elements of the training, we do it even now. So I understand that. But in the end, it wouldn't be a game breaker for me. It wouldn't be. But I definitely understand if that's an issue. But these people who were complaining about training weren't complaining for that reason. Let's be clear on that. These texts and these callers and these people we were listening to, that wasn't about that particular internal piece of thing. That's not what that was about. So let's don't get it mixed up. This text says an uninformed candidate is far worse. Can't have, we read that already. Say he misunderstands the concept of recall system. Same on Howard Show. Minister had promised to do this as I recall. Say, good idea, separate seniors and seasoned politicians from the novices. Yeah. I could see that. That would make sense for me. Right? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello. Good evening, Mr. Lyon. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Okay. Good evening. I am of the humble view that all should be trained. Because as you said, it could just be, you know, well, we feel a certain way about ourselves. And like, because in recent times, I have seen senior persons, civil servants, who needs to be trained? Hang up and I'll listen.
Of course, of course. And you know, see, like, we do some training that has senior public servants and we have some junior people. There are elements of the training where they are both in the same classes, right? And then there are elements where they're not, right? Because the thing about it is, in commingling people, you get to get junior people to benefit from the senior people. And you get senior people to benefit from perspectives and insights for junior people. You going out there to ask voters to vote for you. You a senior person. You've been around since King Hammer had a hatchet. Let me tell you all something. I was in the FNM as a 20-something-year-old. And boy, I could hear tell you the number of times I hear these Johnny-come-latelys, they just reach. I've been in this party, and I served when we used to be running up and down, giving out the torch, and blah, 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 and so forth and so forth. There was so very often times when, at my age, all I could feel was, you need to pay your dues. That's what I got across coming. And so at one point, some senior person said it, and I said this to them. Let me ask you a question. Was it my choice or your choice when God decided I should be born in 1967? Because in order for me to have been there with you when the party started, I would have had to be born at another time. And tell me, could I have chosen that? Since I didn't choose that, and I was born in 1967, and now I am here, are you not glad that I am here? And if my, I have an older brother and sister. They are much older than me. I said, I came after them. Does that make me less my mother's child than them? And do they treat me as less my mother's child? See, we honor people for their commitment and the longevity of that commitment, for sure. But that should never humiliate the fact that a person chooses you in the time that they can. So if you get to interact with these young people, these newly minted people, you can pass something over to them, and they can possibly give you some insights about the people you're going to go ask for their vote, who ain't old as you. And that's what you forget. They can help you appreciate perspectives of the voters you're going to. Because I promise you, I don't care how long you've been around, I don't care how old you are not going in any constituency with everybody your age. It ain't gonna happen. And you have to be able to convince and persuade everybody to vote for you. See, we gotta get, it's crazy some of the stuff you hear around politics, man. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon. How you doing, Chicago?
Hey, Anton, what's going on, man?
How you doing, man? Very good dialogue, just for the record.
Thank you, brother.
Personally, I don't see anything wrong in any way, shape, or form with, as a matter of fact, it should be a mandatory requirement, in my view, in developing a proper structure of ongoing training for persons aspiring to be leaders, whether it be in parliament, whether it be upper house, lower house, whether it be on the boards, directors, etc. There should be some requisite level of training to the operations, especially where there isn't a formal training in place in that space that you were interested in operating in, right? And can you hear me, Shivago?
I can hear you. I'm listening, brother.
Right. And what I also wanted to add is, from the PLP's perspective, in particular going into the 2021 general election, where we had the aspiring candidates leadership modules, we even had the leader of the party, who was also the incumbent member of parliament for Cat Island, Rumkins, and Salvador, right? We had the national chairman for the party, who was one of the most senior politicians in practice today, period. No matter what side of the fence you look on, who submitted himself to the leadership module as well, right? And as you started to point to, there would have been exchange of thoughts, views, and ideas from those who are new and those who are experienced, and then, of course, the instructors who would have provided the overall guidance and training in the program. And so, to my mind, there isn't anything wrong with persons who are the experienced members of parliament submitting themselves, whether they're incumbents or not, whether they're the most senior in the party or not, humbling themselves first and foremost, and submitting themselves to the training, which could serve also as an inspiration for not only persons who are sitting in parliament today, but persons who are vying, and all other persons in the party to show that as the leader, I'm prepared to lead by example, or even if not the leader, as the senior person, I'm prepared to lead by example and fall in line with the training that is being put on to help the entire organization. So I just wanted to add those few points
for
consideration. Thank you for the opportunity.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. We've got quite a... Do we have another call on the line? Let's take that.
You hear me, Minister Lang? How you doing?
Good. Right here, man. What's up?
Yeah, I made a contribution on Harvard Grant Show, but he cut you off before he could finish what you already want to say. I'd like you to reiterate those points. But I started to tell him about, first of all, teaching people the history of the organization and that sort of thing. I watch Parliament many times, and there are a number of members of Parliament who don't know the difference between a point of order and trying to refute something that's been said.
No question about that.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Huh?
No, you're no question about it. Don't know what a point of order is.
He would teach you as a parliamentarian, if you get to the House of Assembly, what's the point of order? So you know how to address these things. Point of information to you. So I think you got to know the difference, you know. And so I don't see absolutely nothing wrong. I don't know why some people think they have a monopoly on education, on training, on politics, on their point of view. Once they have a point of view, they try to monopolize that. So I really appreciate what you're saying here today. And I even appreciate the contribution made by Anton again. The second time I called the show for the day, I came in right after him. But let me just say this. I think it also shows commitment, so sacrifice, and it shows the willingness on your behalf to be on one accord with your organization, be it the PFB or the FNM, if you sit for these training sessions. And I can only see you gaining from it. And I also really appreciate the recommendation you made that maybe you want to separate some senior people from other persons, but based on the time, depends on everybody sit for the same session.
You could have them sit in a session together or two, but then maybe, because you know, it does do something to people when you honor their seasonedness in a thing.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. So you could say, listen, we just want to, for camaraderie and other purposes, have everybody do this session and that session, but then we'll branch off into this and do this separate for y'all and this separate for the other people. It's possible. And that way you get to kill all the birds with one stone.
And hopefully instructions such that people don't try to upstage other persons, you know what I mean? Trying to ensure that I get more experience or more education or more knowledge in this area than you have.
The truth of the matter is that could be true though, right? I mean, it's just true. You could say I do have more experience, and so as not to detract from the time necessary to give you these fundamentals, let me go here and you go there. So that makes sense too.
So the problem happens though. This is what happens at the end though. If you and I are vying for the same consistency, we went to the same training, and I kind of upstage you doing those training or outshine you, that I think that should qualify me for the nomination rather than you. Then technically the popularity contest.
Yeah, well if you run in a training, say, why not? Now you have to ask yourself, what is the purpose of my training?
Right.
You never established a training program until the purpose is very clear, because then it's in the clarity of the purpose that you then fit persons into the appropriate spots. Because it can't be helpful to you where competition between your folk is going to detract from the essence of the training.
Very, very funny, well taken. Yes, that's funny, well taken. Yeah. Hopefully, persons who are participating will recognize that statement you just made, and that will have some sort of impact on the way they see things.
But I still think the training is a great idea. Thanks a lot for calling.
I did an excellent idea myself. Excellent idea.
Yep.
I started to allude to some information we received from the former Governor General, Saada folks. And then we were candidates. It was not really a training, but you know, he sat and interviewed and spoke to all the new candidates. And the information he shared and parted to us, I think, was very, very helpful. I mean, to me, even though I was in government at the time, but I learned something from just sitting and chatting with him. And so I'm sure persons will benefit from the training. And I believe we'll have a more educated parliament moving forward. And we stop acting like little children, you know, oh, you, when you say you ain't doing this, when you say you ain't doing this. an example for the younger generation who may be politically inclined to, you know, want to get into parliament. But the way these guys carry on, boy, is, you know, must to be desired.
What is good, man? We can be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a break, pay our respects to our sponsors, and be right back. You're listening to Z Live. We'll be right back.
Take a stand, everybody.
Try to rest, but roll with the best. East, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Hey guys, this Friday, September 13th, Dunkin' is celebrating you on Customer Appreciation Day on this IRS in the sweetest way possible. All day, with every drink purchase, you'll get 5 free munchkins, George's favorite treat. Thank you for being part of the Dunkin' family. So, mark your calendar for Friday, September 13th, swing by Dunkin' and grab your favorite drink and enjoy 5 free munchkins on us because we appreciate you.
Offer valid only on Friday, September 13th. Thank you for choosing Dunkin'.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy on his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior's phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you miss.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us. Let me get to your text, Mr. Lang. An uninformed Speaker of the House of Assembly is absolutely the worst, especially when they run the House of Assembly like a chicken shack. People still don't know how the PAC works or that every month the opposition should have sessions where they can ask questions. There are still 120 unanswered questions sitting in the House of Assembly before it was prorogued. This text says, you're right, seniors may be shocked at how many bad habits they have engaged in over the years and which were incorrect. This text says, man, that's an awesome analogy. You're not less Aunt May's son than the older siblings. That's for shizzy. This text says, imagine a system where we don't just vote based on the party the person represents, but we vote based on who we think is the best candidate out of all the persons that knocked on our door for their area. Well, you can vote for the best person. No, nobody, there's no compelling to vote for a party. No, you don't have to vote. You don't even have to vote for anybody. So we already have that system. You can vote for the best person you want. You don't have to vote for a party person. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I think it is an excellent idea. Everyone should embrace this. The way persons conduct themselves in Parliament today, it leaves much to be desired, especially that of the Speaker. Great show, says that text. This text says, the question of the candidate shouldn't only be, we read that. So one of the biggest dreams, get sold as a job. They promised to give them a job. Okay, yeah, we read that. This says, it's not really firing. They got their salary, but did not produce what they promised. It should be a crime to lie for votes. You know, it's a lie. A lie is telling somebody something you know is not true. You could be promising something you believe you deliver and simply just not deliver it. That doesn't have to be a lie. And secondly, it may not be firing if you don't get elected when your time is up. But if you offer yourself again and the people say no, what's the difference? You're still not there. His text says, this caller is proof that we need a course in public and private school system educating pupils on the constitution of this country. Graduated 2007, Jordan Prince Williams, and never were we taught the laws that govern us in this country, which is so unfair. His text says, Mr. Lang, do you really think a person like Mr. Fred Mitchell, who has been to Harvard and been elected as an MP and senator, would need training, really? It isn't a question of whether you need the training, you know. It's a question of submitting yourself to the training. See, that's a difference. It is a character display. You remember when Jesus presented himself to John the Baptist for baptizing? John said, why would I baptize you? I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus says, no, suffer it to be so for now, because we have to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus didn't need to be baptized by John, but he submitted himself to the protocol of the moment. And that's character. When you rise above your ego, which crushes opportunity for unity and proper organization. Come on, man. Come on, people. Get it right in your head. You yield good things even when you don't need it or think you need it, and you never know what you might discover in it. So that would be like a student teaching a teacher. And how many students have taught teachers? You need to wake up to history. Listen, folks, let me explain, say something to you. In this 1 minute, we're closing. To the family of Philip Christie, D'Angelo Christie, and both Philips and D'Angelo, I pray Almighty God's good grace, mercy, compassion, and comfort in this very, very, very tragic, difficult hour rest upon you all. In Jesus Christ's name. For the pill that you have to swallow is a very difficult one. And we truly pray for its transcendent grace on your family. God bless you all. He spares life. We talk to you again tomorrow.